Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
We don't want to read another memoir. We don't want another intimate account of what went on. Surely Papier should have protected us from that. Surely as well it should protect us from some of those spam calls. We need to understand this a little bit more. Achmo Berger-Smith, Director of Competition Law, Head of Data Privacy at Worksman's Attorney. Good morning. How are you?
Clearly you're not well with all the spam emails you've been receiving.
Well, I feel like Harry and Meghan are spamming me.
Can I say this to you? My husband said to me, I thought Papier is supposed to limit spam. I've never been spammed this much in my whole life. And can't disagree with him with what's happening in the market at the moment.
I can't if I have to see another email. Anyway, although a friend of mine did say to me he was enjoying it because what he was doing is using the opportunity to opt out of everything. And then he said a few days later he felt like no one loved him anymore because he wasn't getting any emails. So I don't know, we're a strange bunch. But can we just talk about the spam calls? I thought it was meant to help with those.
I read a comments on an article that was published yesterday, and there was clearly someone that thought, because he's on social media and hiding behind some or other username and not disclosing his true identity, that he can speak his honest truth in terms of his hatred for lawyers. But whether you hate us or whether you love us, the reality is someone has to interpret the legislation, and that is in all our benefit. So we've touched on this before. Yes, indeed. Papier is aimed, or one of the aims, is to deal with this whole concept of direct marketing. And at the end of the day, to give the power, that decision-making power, whether I want it or whether I don't want it, to each and every single individual. Now, that also touches on all these annoying emails and SMS messages you one received to say, we are POPI compliant, and, we thank you that we can email you or communicate with you, and you welcome, you can always opt out. Now, that is based on such an absolute misinterpretation of the legislation. In terms of the Consumer Protection Act, you can opt out. Provision is clearly made for opt out. Mm. But at the heart of it, POPI is an opt-in piece of legislation. It says, as a data subject, as an individual, you can, if you're not a customer, if you're my customer, I can market to you in this manner. But I need to give you the opportunity to say, yes, I want to receive it. Not companies deciding on their own, they're just going to keep on bombarding me with direct marketing messages. And therein lies a big, big misconception in the market. If we look at South Africa and we look at our legislation, we've got a right to privacy afforded to each of us in the Constitution. POPI, the POPI legislation, links directly to that, and it says to each of us as an individual, you've got that right, and you've got the right to say, yes, I want to receive it, or no, I don't want to receive it. But then the bigger, most contentious, debatable issue centers around telephone calls. And herein lies a problem with the legislation, because the legislation talks about electronic communication. And if you look at what electronic communication means in terms of the legislation, it talks about messages, whether it's a text message, that SMS, or a voice message, or a sound message, that automated calling machine that you answer and there's the 2-second silence and then this automated voice starts talking to you, or an image. That's what the legislation caters for. The legislation doesn't talk about a telephone call. I pick up my phone and someone says, morning, how are you? And it's that, this is a direct marketer. It's a call center. Mm. And I think we need to clarify this in with the regulator as well, because they acknowledge that it's an opt-in legislation. So data subject, you can say, yes, I want to receive it. This is not a, I can unsubscribe to it. Yes, there must always be an unsubscribe, because you can at any time decide, I don't want to get this crap anymore in my inbox or an SMS. And we need to be clear on these issues. It's not because, you know, we think we're funny in terms of talking about the act. This is a core issue for each and every single consumer out there. There are people that absolutely passionately hate telemarketers. Mm. They've got the right not to be contacted.
So in other words, if somebody phones you, you answer one of the calls and it is one of these telemarketers, could you say to them, how did you get my number? Please show me where I opted in to be on your database and receive communications. Or can you not do that because this is a call, not a message?
No, no. One can, I personally always ask a telemarketer, where did you get my number?
Right.
Because it's important to understand who is handing out my number and on which database it is floating.
Right.
This was an oversight in terms of the legislation. Because I listened to a program, in fact I was on a panel with someone from the information regulator.
Right.
And the information regulator's representative was clearly under the impression, but you know, they'll take action against telemarketers as well. I'm saying you can't take action if the legislation, the tool you're using, doesn't provide for you taking action. And I'm not the only one in the legal fraternity that's clearly identified this issue, Howard. So yes, if the telemarketer phones you, because they're not only using that for telemarketing, they're also using that for SMSs or automated calling machines, because those are contact databases. Now the poor telemarketer, just try and have sympathy for that person, because it must be
I feel very sorry for them.
Jobs on
it's not their fault.
You know, yeah, that person won't be able to tell you where he got the number, but that whichever company he represents should have a process in place where you can query this. And the question is, where's that process? Where's their privacy policy? Where's their data subject access request where you can say, clarify to me, what personal information do you hold? Where did you get it? What do you do with it? And I want to delete it, or I don't want you to use it. And this is also what I'm seeing and what we're seeing from a worksman's perspective in the market. People think as they're sending out these stupid little emails to say we are POPI compliant, that we as individuals should just accept that they're POPI compliant and that they can do whatever they want with our information. That's not compliance with the legislation. For some or other company to print a little certificate to say you certified does not mean you POPI compliant. So for the society in general, whether we individuals as data subjects or the commercial, in the commercial world, we need to realize people will have to get their minds around what POPI compliance actually means. And it's not only a money-making racket for some people that think they can, you know, issue a stamp to say you got POPI compliant.
I have to tell you,
this is a piece of law and it's a serious matter.
I have to tell you that company that I'm involved with, we've been meeting at least once a week for an hour in terms of feedback around POPI. And when you look at it from a marketing perspective, sales perspective, how you're storing your data, CVs, it's actually an incredibly, incredibly important thing. And I must tell you that although it's a bit irritating to do, at the end of the day, I think as a company we'll be better for it, because it really does, it does clean up a lot of the things that it's aimed to do. So yes, it's absolutely not about just those emails, those irritating emails that we all seem to be getting.
Yeah, you know, you touched on something that you might think is a simple thing. All the CVs you keep on record.
Yes.
It's actually a very important thing, because why do you have that information still on record?
Absolutely.
And for how long do you intend to keep it? Because you don't need it anymore. And you know, it's these things that we need to start to think about. If we, it's actually a bit of a spring cleaning exercise.
Well, that's what we found. Yeah.
It affords you the opportunity to identify the true assets that you do have.
Absolutely.
Under your control. Because personal information is a very valuable asset.
Absolutely right. We do need to leave it there. They are threatening to throw me out of studio right now, because they know how unwilling I am to leave. It is 9 o'clock. Achmor Burgersmith, Director of Competition Law, Head of Data Privacy at Worksman's Attorneys. Thank you for bringing us up to date on that important issue.